coming up in a minute. I do have a big show I want to tell you about coming up tomorrow night. Nota Begay joining us in the zone. It's been several years ago we had him on to talk about his foundation. He has now moved into the world of broadcasting, which I'm sure is a lot less stressful and at times a lot more fun than actually being a player. Heard him on the Golf Channel this weekend, and I know Christina knew him from past years and thought we may try to get him on, so I appreciate you running him down. Nota, welcome back in the zone. How are you?
Doing great. You guys are jamming to some good music over there.
I know.
We're not normally that hip. We usually listen to really lame music that your grandparents would listen to, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we're hipping it up a little bit today.
Just because
you're
on.
I like that. Yeah, definitely. I certainly love that.
Well, thanks for coming in, and I heard you talking this weekend during the broadcast and watching Tiger make another run, and certainly with your personal ties to Tiger as a former college teammate, I'm sure it was nice to see him getting back to form, and certainly it's been a great start to the year for him.
Certainly, yeah, it's been very impressive. I've seen him play quite a bit of golf this year, and I've talked to him and has spent some time with him at his place in Jupiter, and I've just got a real good assessment on where his game's at and how he's feeling physically and what his approach is to certain things. And I think we're starting to see some of the things that he's been working on coming to life.
I want to ask a guy who is one on the PGA Tour like yourself and has been around Tiger a long time what your thoughts are, because on the outside looking in from our perspective, and you know, he's had these great runs in the past, and he's like, well, I'm going to totally revamp my swing. I got to do something totally different. This isn't working for me. And I'm thinking, we're all thinking, what are you, crazy? From a guy who knows him and knows golf, what's your perspective when he goes and tweaks his swing like he's done a couple of times over?
Well, I think I'm right there with a lot of people's popular thought on what is he doing? Like, he's got the golf world by the tail, and he's playing great, and he's winning everything. Why would he consider changing his swing? And so I've often been left wondering what led to certain changes and decisions to make changes. But I just think that's the way Tiger has operated his whole life. He really tries to see certain things and opportunities to get better. And a lot of times for most golfers, it opens up a Pandora's box, and in some cases has totally ruined golfers in history. I mean, you look at Ian Baker Finch, he sort of comes to mind. I mean, he was up, one of the top-ranked players in the world, just won the British Open, and then wanted to get more distance and started to try and revamp his swing, and then kind of it just led him sideways and eventually into the booth where I'm at now. But so those kinds of things can have negative impacts on a player's performance, but he's always seemed to come out for the better, and I don't know that he has another swing change in him. Don't know that he needs one based off of what I'm seeing out on the golf course on a week-to-week basis. And when he's putting the way he's putting right now, he's virtually unbeatable.
That's what I was just going to say. I think that his putting right now is just unbelievable and unstoppable. And I think right now that the changes that we're seeing and the differences that we're seeing is definitely in the flat stick, don't you think?
Well, I think that's where it is for everybody. But with him, especially with his length and especially with his ability to hit certain shots really close to the flag and make a lot of easy birdies, when you couple that with the fact that he's making more putts over 10 feet than anybody else in the field, the last two tournaments he's played, he's made, I think, 46 birdies. I mean, even I could win if I made 46 birdies.
You can still win. Enough about Tiger Woods. Let's talk about you. Congratulations on obviously getting out with the NBC and being full-time with the Golf Channel. Last year I was watching a little bit here and there, and you were, you know, on the morning drive and on, you know, Golf Central and all that stuff. And then this year you took over on course. How are you liking it?
On course is great. I think it's more like playing. I think you would appreciate it, Christina, simply because it brings to the surface all of these things that we do instinctively as players, like look at grain, look at lie, check wind, kind of pay attention to the relationship between the caddy and the player, the fans, what the energy's like. And I really, that's my favorite part of my job. I love doing the studio stuff. I love doing live from the major championships, but really being on the golf course is something that I think is probably my most favorite thing right now. I mean, I'm kind of early into this, but it's just great to be able to articulate to the viewer what's going on. Why is this shot hard? What kind of shot is the player looking to hit? And it's fun to be able to predict certain things that are going to happen both good and bad, because sometimes you see a player that's in kind of a bad emotional state because they just made a three-putt bogey on the hole before, and you know they're going to make a bad swing, and you just kind of say, well, this is the perfect chance for this person to make a bad swing, and they do it, and you're just like, geez, because you know how mad that you used to get as a player and how that can affect your future holes. And so it's really been a blessing for me.
Nota Begay joining us on the Revolution Hotline, the former PGA player now with the Golf Channel and NBC. I would follow up on what Christine was asking about, the actual decision to go, you know, do the broadcast thing as opposed to keep grinding on the tour, which is, I cannot imagine the mental stress that's involved with that. And I just want to ask you about how you made that decision to actually, you know, take the turn to go to broadcast.
Did your back basically make the decision for you?
Well, I wish I could say that, but when I signed my scorecard at the PGA Tour Q School second stage, it wasn't quite good enough to get to finals, and so I kind of was at a crossroads to where physically I wasn't feeling great, and I wasn't playing very well on a week-to-week basis, and essentially this opportunity came up, and the people at NBC and Golf Channel thought I'd be a good fit to the team, and I figured, well, I can commit to 2 years. I'll still be 42 when I'm finished with this initial contract, and if I want to continue to pursue golf for a short period of time, there's still a small, small window for me to kind of finish my career on a higher note. But it certainly has been a great opportunity for me to learn another side of the business. The media and broadcasting side is so much different than being a player, and there's so many great people on our staff and our team that make us look good, from production to makeup to all of our research and technicians. It's just been great.
You wear a lot of makeup, do you?
I do. More than you would think. More than, you know,
that, even when you're on the course, you work?
No, I don't.
No. I just
in the studio.
I was checking.
Well, I don't know. I mean, hey, you're on camera out there some too. I'm just curious. I don't know. I used to work in TV. I wore some too, but I mean, I'm not above it. I was just curious if you guys wore it in the field too. I don't know. Nota Begay joining us on the Revolution Hotline, talking PGA Tour. He's with the Golf Channel now. I want to ask you about our Arkansas guys, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know, I guess Ken Duke is, you know, the guy that comes to mind, having just seen him last week. He was in contention, certainly, late into the tournament. It looked like everybody was playing for second place behind Tiger, but he was second into the final round. Just wanted to get your thoughts on his game and where he's at.
Well, Ken's a great example of perseverance. I mean, I played with Ken back on the Canadian Tour. I played with him some on the Web.com Tour, and have really seen him work his way up through all of the various levels and systems of golf. He's really the prototypical journeyman, and now he has come to a point where he has a great handle on what he's doing and what his approach is and how his swing works and how he handles pressure and how to deal with life on the PGA Tour. And he's found a nice, comfortable spot on the tour, and I think that's what we're seeing in how he's been able to play at a high level over the last couple of years. And he certainly has knocked on the door a few times as far as winning, and winning's tough. Winning is a very, very difficult thing to accomplish on the PGA Tour, primarily because your deepest and darkest fears will always come up in the final round.
Yeah.
Something that you hate. If you don't like bunker shots, you're going to hit it in the bunker. If you don't like an 8-footer, you're going to have to make an 8-footer to either save a par or get through a certain sequence of holes. And that's just the nature of the game. And I think that's why certain players have a propensity to win golf tournaments, because they're able to manage their emotions, to manage their fears, and trust the work that they've put in up to that point. And I think that every single person that has a PGA Tour card is capable of winning, but the ones that have trouble winning are the ones that haven't quite learned how to manage their fears and their emotions when they do come into that big moment. And we all know what that moment was. I mean, for Ricky Fowler, it was the 16th hole on Sunday. That was his moment. That was his chance to make a run at Tiger and try and win the golf tournament. The shot set up perfectly for his right to left flight. The wind was coming slightly right to left, and it was a middle left pin. And all he had to do was hit a slight draw, landed in the middle, and it would have released toward the flag, and he just didn't execute. And so that's not to say Ricky won't win. That's not to say Ken Duke won't win. But there comes a point in time where everybody has to overcome that big burden of fear.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. You were talking about work. You do so many amazing things. When we first met years ago when I was over in Arizona practicing and you kindly asked me to go play, we were at a golf course that at the time sponsored you. And now you're into designing golf courses. How's it going?
It's going great. We just opened up our third property
Tucson.
And I work primarily for Native American tribes and just trying to help them with some of their economic development. I did get my degree from Stanford in economics, so I'm actually having to put it to use now in some of these projects. But it's really been a blessing for me to be able to go back to some of these communities and interject some of my experience in seeing great destination resorts and playing championship golf courses like Pebble Beach during the U.S. Open, the St. Andrews during the British Open, and be able to put those ideas into a design and into a project that you see come to life. And when these things, when they open them and you see the holes being built, it's actually a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, and you've also done amazing things through your foundation as well. You've raised millions and millions of dollars for, you know, your Native American culture, and you're big into diabetes research as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been, you know, one of the biggest things that's facing all children in our country, especially in the younger generations, the younger age groups, is this whole onset of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes, and it affects the Native American community at the largest rates in our country, but it is really a socioeconomic issue where it's affecting a lot of kids in the lower income demographic, and I think it's something that we all need to be made aware of and what we're eating and where it comes from and how much of it, because it's one of the things, if you want to take it further into this whole healthcare debate or some of the political sort of strife that exists in our country now, it's one of the things that's putting a big burden on our healthcare system is the number of people that are getting sick in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that are leaning on our healthcare system that doesn't have the capacity to support that, where if we put more money and pull more resources in as far as information and programs into prevention and educating our young kids on healthy lifestyles, then on the back end, we're going to see a much greater reduction in the number of sick people that our hospitals have to treat. So I'm very much an advocate for it, and it's going very well, and we've had support from great golfers. Lorena Ochoa, Annika Sorenstam, Yanni Tsang have all played in my event, and Tiger Woods,
and
Ricky Fowler.
And Christina Lacour is playing next year. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
So, yeah, we'll put you on the invite list.
Good, I'm in. I'll hold you to it.
But it's just trying to heighten awareness. It's obviously affects the American Indian people, but it is affecting the larger population at similar rates.
Nota Begay joining us on the Revolution Hotline. We're just about out of time here. I want to ask you about your expectations for especially the majors coming up here. We're a couple weeks out from the Masters. We're all excited about that, which for many people, that's the real start.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it's the real start of golf season, not to, you know, certainly downplay any of the tournaments that we've already had and any that you've worked so far this year. But I think for most people, they really, really lock in once the majors start. So what are your expectations, and who do you expect? I guess we could always say Tiger, but who else do you expect to be in the mix as we move forward towards the majors?
Well, it's kind of boring just saying Tiger because everybody kind of – that's his pick, but the usual suspects that you kind of have to underline their names on the tee sheet would be obviously Tiger, Phil Mickelson. I don't think you can rule out Rory McIlroy, and we'll have to pay a lot closer attention to how he performs this week. And those are probably your top guys that probably have a really, really good chance of winning. And then in the middle tier of players, you would have to look at guys like Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Luke Donald, maybe a Keegan Bradley. Bubba Repeat, I think, would be tough. Bubba hasn't won a tournament since last year's Masters, so I think that for him to win two consecutive Masters, being the only two wins that he's had within the calendar year, would be statistically a tough proposition. But I don't know that he is, his whole game is intact enough.
Do you think
enough.
He looks nervous over the putter?
Yeah, I mean, Bubba has a unique. You know what's interesting though is I have followed him quite a bit this year, and as it's not the most aesthetically pleasing stroke in the world, but he makes a lot of putts. Like yeah. I've just noticed, like he makes a lot of 8 to 10 foot putts, and it's not the most beautiful stroke, but he certainly gets the job done. But then guys that I would classify, I think you have to put Bubba obviously just because he's so good, he's so talented in that middle pack of guys, and then guys kind of on the outside with an outside chance would be players like maybe a Jason Day or an Adam Scott or a Brent Snedeker. But then again, we got to see if Brent can recover. I mean, he played very poorly last week after a 5-week layoff. So it's, you know, Christina, when you're hurt, coming back is just so hard, and it never goes on your timeline. It's always on golf's timeline, which is never coincides with my expectations. So, but those would be the three tiers of guys, and there's always going to be one or two Cinderella stories, just like the basketball tournament that kind of jump in the mix early on, but. Augusta usually identifies the players that are putting the best and hitting their irons very well.
Now, did you fill out a bracket?
I was about to say the exact same thing.
Of course I did.
And who do you have winning?
And it went all the way downhill after. I was 15 of 16 on the first day, and then it's been downhill ever since.
So who do you have winning the championship?
I've got Indiana.
Okay.
Did you have Florida Gulf Coast?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did anybody have Florida Gulf Coast?
No, but I don't even think Coach Enfield had Florida Gulf Coast getting this far, but it would have been great if you...
I don't think he had himself going past the first round.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It would have been great if you did, though. You could have said, yeah, nobody would have known the difference. I would have totally gone with it. Then next time you would have been on, it would have been Nota Begay, who works for the Golf Channel and is a basketball genius. That's how we would have introduced you. But
I think if I would have had Florida Gulf Coast, I think the MGM would have hired me to come set their lines in Vegas.
Yeah, no kidding.
No question.
That line's right now like 100-1 for them to win the whole thing still. So.
Yeah, they're not. They're still being doubted. So anyway, I know some people who snatched up that opportunity to take advantage of the 100-1.
Yes.
Well, Nota, we appreciate it. We look forward to hearing you the rest of the season. And should you choose, we wish you lots of luck getting back on tour if you decide to go that route as well. So thanks so much for the time.
Good luck and thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Have a great day.
That is Nota Begay, and we got to take a timeout. A little behind here. We are at Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They will beat any price in the state. We told you some of the deals. We'll hit on some of those coming up as well. You can find out more online at Landers.com, or better yet, come see us on a beautiful Thursday here in Benton, exit 121. Back in a moment.